This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so for Parashah this week, we're going to try and combine Bamidbar Shavuos together, and we'll start off with some ideas about Bamidbar, and I hope there'll be a very neat segue into Shavuos. If you've got the sheets in front of you, and if you haven't, then email me please at j.golker@gmail.com, and I'll happily send them to you. The Parashah is now, Parashas Bamidbar is of course the beginning of a new Sefer in Chumash. It's the fourth Sefer in Chumash. And interestingly, we know that Chazal described the five Sfarim in Chumash, Bereish, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim, by other names. So for example, Bereishis, the Gemara Avodah Zarah, calls it Sefer HaYoshar. Why is it Sefer HaYoshar? Because the Ovos are called Yoshar, upright, straight, people of integrity. Shemais is called Sefer HaGeula. Geula is because it's the Sefer of redemption, how the Jewish people come down to Mitzrayim and they emerge in Sefer Shemos. They're sort of the formation of a people. Sefer HaGeula, they're redeemed from Mitzrayim. Vayikra is called Toras Kehanim, which deals largely with the Mishkan and the Avodah. Devarim is called Mishnah Torah because it's Moshe Rabbeinu sort of repeating and emphasizing aspects of Torah. Bamidbar is called Sefer HaPekudim. Sefer HaPekudim. Why is it called Sefer HaPekudim? Well, Pekudim, it means literally numbers, indeed, in English. If you speak to, you know, to an English audience, they will know Bamidbar as numbers. Now, why is it called numbers? Well, presumably, because the beginning of this week's parasha involves a census, a counting of the Jewish people. The difficulty is, I can understand the other four Sfarim. Bereishis, Sefer HaYoshar, it's all about the Ovos. It's something very integral about Bereishis. It's a very good description of what Sefer Bereishis is. Shemoi Sefer HaGeula, of course, that's the redemption of the Jewish people. That's what the beginning Sfarim, Parashah is all about. That is really what Sefer Shemois is. Vayikra Toras Kohanim, I understand. Devarim Mishnah Torah, that's the theme of the whole Sefer. But Bamidbar seems a bit the anomaly. It's the exception. It seems a bit strange because numbers is not integral to Sefer Bamidbar. There's so much else going on in Sefer Bamidbar. All the stories of Korach, of the Meraglim, of Balak, of Bilam, Pinchas. Why is it called Bamidbar? Why is it called Sefer HaPekudim? So the Haemek Dovar, the Netziv, in his Hakdama to Sefer Bamidbar, asks this question, and he gives a very beautiful answer. He says that actually there are two countings in Sefer Bamidbar. One is in this week's parasha, in Parshas Bamidbar, and one is in Parshas Pinchas. Now, of course, we know the whole of Sefer Bamidbar covers a period of 40 years. Say Parshas Bamidbar, the counting takes place at the very beginning of that 40 years, and Parshas Pinchas involves a census at the very end of the 40 years. Says the Haemek Dovah, the Netziv, that these two countings represent two very different stages of the Jewish people. If you take a look, Zeh HaSefer Nikra Chumash HaPekudim, V'nir Shem B'das Rabbeinu Inyan Shnei HaPekudim, Shebezeh HaSefer, it's called Sefer Pekudim because of the countings of the Jewish people more than other aspects of Sefer Bamidbar. Why? Ika hehefresh hazeh. Well, let's carry on. Zeh ha-sefer, mishum de'ika zeh ha-sefer hu, ha-machlef u'meshane ha-lichus im Hashem b'chaya ha-olam hazeh, ha-olam, me'oz, she'egiu l'eretz Yisrael. In other words, let's just do the last paragraph. Ika ha-hefresh hazeh, the difference between these two countings, hoya nika b'shnei ha-pekudim shoya shnei imyonim shovim b'choy me'amaisa. In other words, the two countings represent the transition of very different journeys and directions of the Klal Yisrael. In other words, Parashas Bamidbar is counting a generation who left Mitzrayim and who are now going into the Midbar to live a supernatural existence with Mon, with the Be'er, with the Anei Kovod. And then 40 years later, we're counting a people who are entering to Eretz Yisrael and are living according to the world of nature. they're going to have to sow the plow the ground, sow the seeds. And this is a different type of experience, a different type of existence. The countings represent the transition, the journey of the Jewish people from going from Mitzrayim into the Midbar. And the second counting is the next stage of the chapter in Jewish history where we go from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. And that really is what Sefer HaMidbar is all about, is that transition of Mitzrayim to the Midbar, life in the Midbar, and then the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. And the two countings, the countings in Parshas HaMidbar and the countings in Parshas Pinchas, represent those two transitions. Parshas HaMidbar, this week's Sedra, represents the counting of the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim as they come into this supernatural existence in the Midbar. And the second is this very different hashkacha, this very different providence of Klal Yisrael. When they go, they leave the Midbar and they go into Eretz Yisrael to live a natural type of life. Good, that's what the Netziv says. Now, that, I think, leads nicely on to the next idea on this week's parasha. Because when we list all the Jewish people, the Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Mate Zvulun, the tribe of Zvulun, the Shevet of Zvulun, the Nasi of Zvulun, Eliyahu ben Chelek. The Balat Turim notes that when it says Mate Zvulun, there's a difference in the way the Torah uses the word Mate to how it would normally use it. Says the Balat Turim, the Loi Oma Umate, Kaderech Shneva Ba'acherim. With the other Shvatim, it says Umate. Why is it when it comes to Zvulun, there's no Umate, there's no Vav? It just says Mate Zvulun. Says the Balat Turim, Lefisha B'Zvulun Hoye Mefarnes Liyisachar. We know that Zvulun had a partnership with Yisachar. They went out and earned money, and they sustained and financed the existence of Yisachar. V'ra'isi b'tanchuma hatam shelo ama umate b'Zvulun, k'mo she'amar b'kulun. The reason why I don't say umate Zvulun, lamedcha, shehoye Zvulun oisek b'prakmatia, v'nosen etoich pivshel Yisachar. And they fed Yisachar, l'fichach l'rotza hakos of lasus tofelei. And therefore, we don't want to make Zvulun tofel, subordinate, secondary to Yisachar, because if it would say Shevet Yisachar, Mate Zvulun, Umate Zvulun, it would just be there's A and there's B as well. By saying Umate Zvulun, it would have suggested that Zvulun is subordinate, is secondary to Yisachar, to emphasize the fact that Zvulun is equal to Yisachar. It says Mate Zvulun, not Umate Zvulun. They get the same reward as Yisachar. As it says, the Torah is a tree of life to those who grasp onto it. That's referring to Yisachar. And those who support it, i.e. Zvulun, are happy, etc., etc. And then the Baal Tum continues. So what do you see? You see from here, in this week's parasha, the fact that Yisachar and Zvulun have very equal roles. Not that Zvulun is any way inferior to Yisachar. On the contrary, it says Mate Zvulun to emphasize that he's an equal partner to Yisachar. Now, that is an introduction to a very interesting MS Yaakov. Yaakov Kamenetsky, not in this week's parasha, but in Parshas Vezos HaBrocha, discusses the relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. Let's take a look. A fascinating piece. Says the MS Yaakov, in Sefer Devarim, in Vezos HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yudches. The Pasuk says, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing the Jewish people, and he's blessing all the Shvatim. He says, Zvulun Omar, Samach Zvulun B'Seisecha V'Yisocha Bo'alecha. Rejoice Zvulun when you go out, and Yisocha in your tents. Pirush Rashi explains there, Zvulun V'Yisocha Osu Shutfas, Yisocha and Zvulun made a partnership. Zvulun Nochef Yamim Yishkoim, Zvulun would go and live on the seashore. The Yetzel LePrakmatzia, he would go out in his ships and he would go and do business. Besfinos or Mishtak and Levenos and LePateich Pivshel Yisachar, and he would earn money and he would finance and help Yisachar live. Vehem Yoishri Voiskim B'Torah, so that he can sit and learn Torah. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Vehine, Bal Korcheinu on Utsrichim Leima, Shele Osid Lovo Tia Yidiyosa Shel Zvulun B'Torah Shovel Yidiyosa Shel Yisachar. What's going to happen? When Yisachar goes to Shemayim, the person who sat and learned, he goes to Shemayim, he'll be able to engage in the conversation in the Yeshiva Shel Ma'alo. After all, he'll be well-versed in Torah knowledge, so he'll be able to engage in that conversation. V'im Kain, says Rabbi Yaakov, that's all well and good for Yizocha, but what about Zvulun? He spent his day in business working. Eich Yoshev Shom Zvulun v'yipalpa b'Torah. How will Zvulun be able to engage in Torah discussion in the Yeshiva Shel Ma'alo? In Kol Gedolei Hadoros, with all the greats of the generations, Ba'ishu Ein Lo Musa Klal b'Torah. He never sat in the tents of Torah. V'chila Zeh Schar Yikra. What sort of reward is that? They'll sit there not able to engage in Torah. U'v'hechruch Shechelka b'Shutvas Hi Sheyikabel. You've got to say, says Rabbi Yaakov, that Zvulun will be able to engage and understand Torah to the same extent as Yizachar. But the question is how? He didn't sweat in the Beis HaMedrash. He didn't schwitz over a Tosfos. He didn't work very hard in Torah. So what is the key to enable him to engage in that? Vanira, look at the next paragraph, top of the next page. Vanira Bezet. There's a famous Gemara in Nida, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, Shemelam Dines Kol HaTorah Kula LaAdam Bizman Shehu Ubo. We know the Gemara in Nida tells us that when a fetus is in utero, when a fetus has not yet been born, the Malach is teaching that fetus Torah for 9 months. U'chashayetzi La'avir Ha'olam Bo Malach V'soy Tra'apir. Says the Gemara in Nida that when the baby is about to be born, the malach comes, soit troy alpiv, it gives him a little knock on its mouth, and that child, that baby, forgets all the Torah he's learnt for the last 9 months. The explanation of this enigmatic Gemara is, in truth, a person, were it not for that, could basically access the Torah that he learnt in utero without any problem. Since the Pasuk in Iyov tells us that the function of man is to sweat and to toil, that is what this world is all about. Odom la'omal yulod, a person is born to toil. That's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He wanted this world to be a world of effort and of toil. Oz mishmashkichim mimenu es kol haTorah. Therefore, he created a system where a person forgets all the Torah that he learned in utero, which he received without any effort. Now, once he's born, he has to work hard. That is what life is all about. He's got to work hard to relearn the Torah that he was taught when he was in utero. Now, last paragraph. Well, if he's there, biftach lonu pesach lahovin inyan zvulun. Now we can understand this whole relationship between Yizachar and Zvulun. Shemikiven shehu hisyageh kol yom lefanes es Yizachar. Since he sweated and worked hard to finance Yizachar, bishvul sheyuchel lamal b'Torah, that Yizachar will be able to sit in the tents of Torah, in kain hu kiyem eschiv hayegiyah muteles al ha'odom. That was his yegiyah that unlocked ticked the box of Adam La'omal Yulot. So for Yizachar, he learnt all of Torah in utero. He got the little smack on the cheek, on the mouth, he forgot it. His avoda is to unlock the access, that Torah, through Amelus HaTorah, through working hard, through toiling and through sweating. Zvulun can access it also by toiling and sweating, but his toiling and sweating is in Parnasa, Vim Kain, Kishaoli Yeshiva Shamala, and therefore when Zavulun goes to the heavenly court, Oz Chizera Satur Shalom Bimei Bubroi, Banasi Shalai, then the Torah just is back to him. Vim Kain, Einap Shatshul Kaina Sidir Satur Belomo, he's not getting the Torah without effort, he's getting it with effort. What effort? The effort of going to business. Elisheha Omo Shalom Mistrakis and Parnasi Yisacha. To finance and facilitate the occupation of Yisachar, etc. So Yaakov says a fascinating idea that when Zvulun will go to the Yeshiva Shel Ma'alo, he'll be able to engage in Torah discussions with the greats, even though he never sat in in the yeshivas, in the Ohel Shel Torah, but it was his amelus in business to facilitate Yisachar's occupation that will open up and unlock and fulfill his requirement, his objective of Odom La'omad Yunot. Beautiful. Now, if that's the case, what do we see from this arrangement of Yisachar and Zevulun? This emphasis in this week's parasha that Zevulun is a very equal partner with Yisachar. What we see is that everyone in Klal Yisrael has different objectives and different missions. Some are Yisachar, some are Zevulun, and of course there are all the other Shvatim. But the key is there is an overriding sort of singular objective of fulfilling one's destiny in life. And that really is what happens in Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, we're told, V'yisem nisugulim mikol ha'amim, v'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh. Before Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, this is your job description. Your role in life is to be sugulim mikol ha'amim, that we have to live a noble life that all the other nations turn to us and say, wow, this is what a human being can be. V'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh, to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, with amelus, with effort and with sweat, because that is what unlocks the odom la'omal yulad, the effort and the toil needed in olam hazeh. But everyone's got different objectives. But the point is that if a person lives with that overriding mission, that that's what my life is all about, to be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh, to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, of Kiddush Hashem, then I've got a singular mission in my life. Now, with that understanding, I think that's a very very important and neat segue into Shavuos. How so? Well, we see this in many ways. First of all, there's the famous idea of Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman, the famous and the founding Rosh Hashiva of Mei Yisrael in Baltimore, he had a signature vote, a famous idea that apparently he would say over every single Shavuos. But it's a majestic, wonderful idea, which I think brings out the point I'm trying to make. There is a famous Gemara in Pesachin Samaches. Take a look, please, at paragraph 4. The Gemara in Pesachin Samaches on the base says, Rabbi Yosef b'yoyma da'atzarta. Rabbi Yosef, on the Yontif of Shavuos, Omar, he would say the following. Eloi ha'yoyma t'kogarim, where not for this day, kama Yosef ikka b'shuka. There'd be many Yosefs in the marketplace. Kama Yosef ikka b'shuka. It's a very difficult Gemara, because Rabbi Yosef saying, if were not for this day of Matan Torah, I would be a regular Joe. I'd be a regular Yosef. There's so many other Joes in the marketplace. I'd be like a regular Yosef. Asks Rav Ruderman, really? Rabbi Yosef, one of the great Amoraim, would not be a regular Joe, a regular Yosef. Clearly, he was a very capable individual, a very intelligent individual. He would have been at least Professor Yosef, Dr. Yosef. He would have been the CEO Yosef. What does it mean, I'd just be a regular Yosef? So Rav Ruderman said the following, amazing idea. All too often, a person is very fragmented. He lives various sort of roles in different contexts of his life. He may be this type of person in home. He may be another type of person in the business place, on the football field, with his friends, with his colleagues, with his family. And he's just a very sort of fragmented, disparate person, sort of just flowing with the company or the situation he finds himself in. But now that I've had the day of Matan Torah, that has given me a mission in life. That has been given me the mission of V'atem Tiyuni Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. I've been told I've got to live a life of Kedushas Hashem. So then I know that I've got an objective in my life, a singular mission to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And therefore, whatever I do, whatever situation I find myself in, I'm fulfilling that objective. So I could be Yosef, but I'm going to be the same Yosef, whether I'm in the Beis HaMedrash, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in shul, in the business place, on the football field. It doesn't make a difference, because my mission is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That is what we were told before we got the Torah. So that's what the Gemara means, says Rav Ruderman. The Gemara means, not for this day of Shavuos, come and Yosef ikka b'shuka, there'd be lots of Yosefs. When I'm over here, I behave like this. When I'm in here, I behave like this, etc., etc. What Torah, what Shavuos has given me is a singular mission to sort of make me no longer a disparate, fragmented individual, but to give me a singular mission, a cohesive focus in my life. And that really, the concept, if you think about it, I may have mentioned this before. I don't apologize for repeating it, but I think it's a very important idea. I'll give you an example. You know, imagine, just think about anything you do, sleep. Imagine sleep, right? Let's think, how much does a person sleep at night? How many hours? So most people will sleep probably somewhere between 6 and 8 hours. So let's say someone sleeps, you know, and they're fortunate to get 8 hours sleep. They go to bed at 11 o'clock and they get up at 7. And they live for 90 years. That means that 30 years has been spent asleep. If a person sleeps 6 hours a night, they go to bed at 12 and they get up at 6. So they live for 80 years, 20 years has been asleep. Either way, whichever way you cut it, it's a long time a person sleeps. Is sleep a mitzvah? Is it parav? Is it positive? What is it? Presumably, it's not a mitzvah. You're not getting a schar for it. It's parav. I'll tell you something which will transform the parav into something very positive, something which is neutral into something which is actually a mitzvah. If a person goes to sleep and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to recharge the batteries. Help me have refreshing sleep so that when I wake up tomorrow, I'll be able to have a day to serve you as best as I can. Then all of a sudden, that 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever it is, becomes a mitzvah. When a person goes and does exercise, if he does it l'shem shamayim, when a person eats, when a person socializes, whatever he does, it's in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that becomes a mitzvah. But that's only possible if you've got a singular objective in life. That's really what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Because now I've got a singular objective in my life. It's all one mission to make a Kiddush Shem Shamayim. And that really, the ability of elevating our physical life into Kiddush Hashem is really, if you think about it, the whole reason how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to succeed and bring Torah down. What am I referring to? Referring to, of course, the famous Gemara in Shabbos. Take a look, please, at paragraph 5. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Mabei, says this. Let's go through the Gemara together. Famous Gemara. Omer Rabbi Shur ben Levi. B'shar she'olam Moshe lamar. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. Omri malachi asharis l'ni HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'boin l'sholem. Mali yuludi she'beinenu. What is this human being doing here in heaven? Omer lohem. L'kabel Torah ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded and said, he's come to accept the Torah. This precious commodity, Torah, which has been hidden away 974 generations before the creation, you're going to now just give it to human beings? Hashem said to Moshe, you answer. Give them, you respond. So listen to this. This Torah you're giving me, Maksiv bo, what is it written there? So Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Yotzeich me'aretz Mitzrayim. So Omer lohen, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Malachim, Lemitzrayim yoradetem? Did you go down to Egypt? Lefaro hishtabatem? Did you serve Pharaoh? Torah lo matei lochem, what do you need this Torah for? Shuv maksiv bo, what else is written there? Lo yeh lochay lohem acherim, you're not allowed to have other gods. Bein agoyim atzim shurim sha'idna v'rizor, you living among you, Malachim, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Are you living amongst the nations of the world that you're tempted by their Avodah Zarah, whatever form that may take? Shuv Maksiv Bo, what else is written there? Zocher is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Malachim, Klum Atem Oisim Malach HaShatim Shrichin Shavus. Do you work hard 6 days a week, you need to rest on Shabbos? Shuv Maksiv Bo, Loisiso, you can't take Hashem's name in vain. Maso Matan Yesh Penechem, do you have business that you have to make promises and oaths that you might have to violate this? Shuv maksiv bo. What else is written? Kabedes avicho v'simecho. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to Malachim. Av ve'im yesh lochem. Do you have parents? Shuv maksiv bo. What else is written there? Lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signov. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kidnap. Kili yesh b'neichem. Are you jealous? Lo sachmod. Yetzora yesh b'neichem. Do these things tempt you? Miyad hodu lo l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, they were moida. This goes to Moshe Rabbeinu. End of Gemara. And he successfully battles with the Malachim and brings down the Torah and gives it to us on Shavuos. What do you see from this Gemara? you see that the raison d'être of how Moshe Rabbeinu actually successfully argued and won the Torah for us is because we are human beings, because we live a physical life. We have human temptation and frailties. That is really what won over the Torah from the Malachim. That's exactly the point. We all have objectives, and our objectives is to be a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. Everything we do in the human world, in the human effort, is focused on Megbim Mekadeshem Shemayim. And that really is an idea we mentioned once in Parashas a year or two ago, in Parashas Emor, I think it was. An amazing idea that I heard in the name of Menachem Liebtag. He said the following insight. Parashas Bamidbar, as we explained in the beginning, represents, says the Netziv, this transition, the two countings. That's why it's called Sefer HaPkudim, the transition of life in the Midbar, and then life into Etzor, the natural life. We're making the transition where we're taking our lives and we're sort of making sure that it's part, our Avodas Hashem is part of this natural world in which we live. That is really, if you think about it, the whole of Sefer Vayikra. How so? Says Rabbi Liebtag, an amazing idea. Sefer Vayikra is a book of two halves. The first 17 parakim of Sefer Vayikra all deal with the Mishkan, all aspects of the Mishkan, the Karbonus, the rules of Kohanim, the rules of Karbonus, the Chanukas HaMishkan, the halachas of Tum and Tahara, the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol and Kippur. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, it's actually Parshas Achrimos in Perek Yud Ches, all of a sudden, it moves away from the being sort of Mishkan-centric, and it goes on to a litany of miscellaneous topics. Second of all, the phrase Ani Hashem Elokeichem appears only once in the first half of Sefer Vayikra and over 50 times in the second half of Sefer Vayikra. And in the and that transition point, the beginning of Perek Yud Ches, it appears as many as 5 times. What's going on? The answer is this. We might think, mistakenly, that Ani Hashem Elokeichem is only relevant to the Mishkan. When do I have to serve God? When I go to Shul Shabbos morning. But when I'm playing football on the soccer field, when I'm eating, when I'm sleeping, when I'm doing business, when I'm anything else, what's that got to do with anything? The Teretz says it has got to do with everything. Because Ani Hashem Elokeichem has to do with all aspects of our lives. And therefore, in the second half of Sefer Vayikra, which deals with a litany of all miscellaneous topics of the prohibited relationships, of Kadosh and Tiyu, of the laws regarding agriculture, of capital punishment, of Shmita, of Techocha, of Erchin, etc., etc. It has to do with everything. So the concept and the message of Ani Hashem Elokeichem needs to be repeated over and over to remind us that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, our Avodas Hashem, our mission in life of to be a Mamleches Kehanim V'Goy Kodesh, is applicable in all aspects of our lives. So what have we seen tonight? And then I'll finish with one short idea. What have we seen in Sefer Bamidbar and the connection to the Yontif of Shavuos that is so close and almost upon us? What we see the connection is this, that why is Bamidbar called Bamidbar? The other name, Sefer HaYoshef for Bereishis, etc., I can understand it's very central to their theme. Sefer Bamidbar, numbers counting, there was two countings, one in Bamidbar, one in Parshas Pinchas. Why do we call the whole fourth Sefer Bamidbar after the numbers? Says the Netziv, because it represents the journey of the Jewish people. The journey of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael, which is the physical supernatural type of existence, and then from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, which represents the journey of taking the Torah, taking our mission into our everyday life. And that is represented as well by that second idea of Mateh Zevulun. So Zevulun is an equal partner to Yizachar. If his focus is on Avodas Hashem, then he is an equal partner to Yizachar. He'll be able to get Schar and to access the Torah that he also was taught in utero when he goes to the Yeshiva Shalmalo. Equal partner. And that really is because we have a singular mission in life. And that is what is given to us just before Matan Torah. The Matan Torah, we were given our mission statement, our objective, of the Yisem is Sugula Mikolo Amim, the Atem Tiri Mamleches Kanim V'Goy Kodesh. That gives us a singular mission, that everything we do is part of Avodas Hashem. That's what Rabbi Yosef says, Molly Hayom Kagarim, were it not for this day, Kama Yosef Ika B'Shuka, I would be a disparate, fragmented individual. But now that I've got Torah, everything I do has that singular mission of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And that really is how Moshe Rabbeinu won the Torah, by emphasizing to the Malachim that we are human beings with physical challenges and frailties, and therefore it's up to us to try and overcome them and address our singular mission to override all the challenges and the temptations that come our way. And that really is the message of Sefer Vayikra. And the Hashem Elokeichem does not limit itself to the Mishkan, but it pervades every aspect of our lives. And should we think for one moment that it's a burden, it's an all, let me finish with a majestic idea from Megillas Rus. Majestic idea, and I may have said this in the past, but it's worth repeating. We're familiar with the story. Naomi and Elimelech leave Eretz Yisrael. They're criticized for it. They go down to Moab together with their two sons. Elimelech and the two sons die, Machlon and Chilion. And Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law. Orpah abandons ship. She turns her back, literally Orpah is from the word Oref, the back of the neck. She turns her back on Naomi, and Naomi and Rus go back to Eretz Yisrael. But because of her, she wants to see if Rus is determined to cling and to cleave to the Jewish people. So you have the famous dialogue. But Toimer Rus, al tifki bilozvech, don't tell me to go back to my Moabite ways. Ki ala ki ala she telchi eilech, wherever you go, I will go. Vashet tolini olin amech ami, velekaich elekai, etc., etc. Beautiful, beautiful psukim. When I was young, these are very poignant psukim for me. My father, Zichron Livracha, made me and my siblings learn these psukim off by heart, because they're so beautiful. Rashi on these psukim tells us that actually there's a lot more going on over here. The Naomi was telling Rus, she was saying, you've got to tell them that these are the punishments that could befall a person if he slips up. Before he converts, you make sure he understands the full picture. Because Naomi said to Rus, I want to tell you some halachas. You're on Shabbos, there's a limit to where you can go. You can't go beyond the tchum. I'm Allah, don't worry. Wherever you go, I will go. Good, next one. A man cannot seclude himself with a woman who's not his wife. She'in Isha. I'm Allah, no problem. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge, etc., etc. Asks Rav Bamberger in the Sefer Shira Salevi, a beautiful Sefer, a beautiful vot. Listen to what he says. If that is what Naomi is telling Rus, that there are restrictions to be a Jew, that you can't just go where you want on Shabbos, you can't just marry whoever you want, etc., then then Rus's response should have been in the negative, i.e., she should have said to her, Basher telchi, wherever you go, or wherever you can't go, I won't be able to go. Wherever you can't lodge, I can't lodge. Why does she express it in the positive? Basher telchi eilech, basher tolini olin. The answer is because this single mission that we have, to be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kodesh, is a privilege and not a burden. Yes, I may not be able to go beyond the tchum of Shabbos, but there's lots that I can do. I can walk within the tchum. And yes, I may not be able to seclude myself, but I can have a relationship. I can have the beauty and warmth of a Jewish home and the relationship of a husband and wife. So she just reframed her perspective to express the pride and the passion and the beauty of being Jewish. What an amazing insight. With that, I wish you all a very good Yom Tov. And Mitzvah Hashem, we shall be zocha to live up to our personal and national mission statements of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in everything we do.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.